Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Amazon has reported record-breaking quarterly profits, helped in a rise by online sales and demand for its cloud services. Google's sister company, Waymo, has announced a trial in which its self-driving cars will ferry shoppers to and from nearby Walmart stores to pick up their groceries. Children could be banned from owning drones weighing more than 250 grams under a new proposal from the Department for Transport in the UK. And a competition helping to drive the development of futuristic hyperloop transport systems have been won by engineering students from Munich. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Amazon has reported record-breaking quarterly profits helped by a rise in online sales and demand for its cloud services. Profits hit a record $2.5 billion in the 3 months to the end of June, about 12 times more than it made during the same period last year. Sales rose by 39% to $52.89 billion, slightly less than analysts had been forecasting. In response to the report, Amazon's shares jumped more than 3% in after-hours trades last Thursday. At the firm's lucrative cloud service division, Amazon Web Services, sales were up nearly 50% on year-to-year to $6.1 billion. Amazon is also starting to attract more money from advertising. Revenue from the firm's other category, which includes advertising, more than doubled to about $2.2 billion. Retail sales in North America were healthy as well, rising about 44% to almost $32.2 billion. Recruitment slowed in the quarter. Amazon is also starting to reap the benefits of previous infrastructure investments, allowing for less rapid spending growth. Amazon is expected to account for roughly half of online sales in the U.S. this year.
Are you kidding me?
Half of all
50% yes. of all sales
yes
are going to be on Amazon,
which is amazing. And interestingly enough, I read an article today about Jeff Bezos. However you say his last name, he's now worth I think it was $150 billion, which is 50 times more than, was it Bill Gates? It was double what Zuckerberg is valued at. Like, he is nobody in the U.S. has been valued at $150 billion before. That's doing well.
That is doing so well. Good for
Something's
you.
Working with Prime, let me tell
okay.
you.
Oh, yeah.
So I am not surprised because I love Amazon so much. Like, I use it all of the time. I don't love to go to the mall. So it makes me think to myself, like, is this the death of the mall?
I think a lot of things are death of the mall.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, it's the fact that Amazon is so diversified. Mm-hmm.
Becoming even more so. Pharmaceuticals, food.
Yeah. Like, they literally are controlling everything. And it's a great business plan for them. And they've done it smartly. Like, a lot of companies, their whole thing is, we're just going to go buy this and we're going to buy that company and then we're going to take this over, which is wonderful, but then you've got the debt load that comes with purchasing it.
Sure.
Amazon, while buying certain companies, has done things from the ground up. And they've said, right. we want to go into this area, so we're going to create the ability for our company to do that and inventing it in a way that works for them, which severely cuts down the costs of getting into that market. And then when you've got the brand power of saying, hey, it's Amazon, like, they've done a phenomenal job. But yeah, it's going to kill retail.
And as Sasha was saying, they've taken a smart approach of invest now,
mm-hmm.
grow,
reap the benefits later.
Right.
Right.
And that's exactly what they're doing.
And that's where they are now. They're reaping some
real
spectacular.
But you think about it, so is it the death of the shopping mall? Wow. I guess there's a culture to the mall.
Right.
So like, would it be but it's true that I can't walk into our best mall here in town and find a men's clothing store anymore that carries reasonably priced men's clothing.
Right.
And really, it's...
Most...
It's all... There's very few men's clothing stores left.
Well, most of the things that I want, I wouldn't even know where to look for them,
yeah,
but for Amazon.
Right. But also, I mean, you take it a step further. You've got, you know, the physical brick and mortar stores. But also, I've been seeing a trend of online retailers are moving away from their websites and are now going to posting stores on Amazon. Because that's where the business is.
They'll take the loss of the massive markup of Amazon.
Right. But now they're saving on their web fees and all the back end and all the kind of stuff. And then any sales that come through it, Amazon's dealing with the security and the privacy issues. All they have to do is supply their product to Amazon as opposed to dealing with all that themselves.
Sure.
I mean, think of how many companies just with the UK changes on privacy are probably going, whew, it's a good thing I'm on Amazon. But,
right.
But I mean, when you think about that, the fact that everybody's saying, oh, we're just going to go through Amazon, they really are just a hub. That's what they do. You're
right.
Getting the products from somebody else. It's not like it's Amazon's. I mean, there are some
Amazon
products. Right,
like Amazon is the mall and their stores inside of it.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, eBay kind of started that trend.
Right.
And Amazon just said, that's great, but look what we can do.
Right.
And did it so much better.
Right, and the Foo is even saying Best Buy has an eBay store.
Yeah.
You know, to put the example out there.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
Mean, not to say bad things about Best Buy because I've bought stuff from them before, but on their online store, every single time I've ever bought something, my car has been flagged for fraud.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Every single time. Best Buy, fix that.
Lyndon wants to know, like, what happens to the fitting room? Well, really, with Amazon's return policies,
I know.
You don't, like, yeah, there's something to be said about going in, trying something on, looking in the mirror, saying, oh, yeah, that looks good, or, oh, put that one back and get a medium.
Right.
But with Amazon, for example, we bought my daughter a bathing suit, mm-hmm, and we just bought four of them. And
right, then return what doesn't work.
We returned the three that...
What I always have done is check the comments, because the comments, most of the times, people are very clear, especially when it's clothing, mm-hmm, on how it fits. So
sure,
they'll say, I bought a medium. I'm usually a medium. It fits really small, mm-hmm, right? And then you
yes
know, okay, wait, now I need to change.
But you
got to
look, because if it's around Thanksgiving...
I just, like, I think to myself, I wouldn't, if I were going to start out my life as an entrepreneur, and I wouldn't think to myself, hey, I'm going to open a shop, mm-hmm, at this point. I wouldn't
a retail
see
shop.
I would not
right
buy, like, I would not.
But I might open an Amazon store.
I would completely sell my things on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So there it is.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Right. On the flip side, Google's sister company, Waymo, has announced a trial in which its self-driving cars will ferry shoppers to and from a nearby Walmart store to pick up their groceries. For now, the pilot is being restricted to 400-plus members of its early rider program in Phoenix, Arizona. The trial indicates how the tech giant thinks the autonomous vehicle could be deployed if and when they exit the experimental stage. The only word on pricing so far is a promise to offer participants discounts when they order goods via Walmart's online grocery pickup service as part of the deal. The Walmart partnership was rumored after shoppers spotted Waymo marked parking spots outside the store earlier this week in Phoenix, Arizona. Some suggested that the tie-up could offer an alternative to Amazon's Prime Now quick delivery service. The announcement comes 2 days after Waymo's chief executive tweeted that its cars had driven a total of 8 million miles on public roads, which is double what its tally had been in November.
Okay, see, that raises unintentionally an interesting point in that, okay, they're trying to compete with the Prime Now service,
mm-hmm,
and maybe that would be the death of them all. The if you will,
yeah,
the capability to get online, order something, and have it there that day.
Right.
Every time.
Right.
That could be. So retailers like Walmart have to come up with, because they are brick and mortar,
mm-hmm,
right,
we have to come up with a neat way to do this, because Sears tried to do an online store.
Oh, failed.
Did not.
Went out of business.
Sears is no
longer. Yeah, but it wasn't just we're not going to get into the economics of Sears, but
no,
it wasn't just the online.
But it was one of their last-ditch efforts, I think.
And, yeah, and
but they did it 10 years too late.
It's really tough. Like, who goes to Walmart online and buys things on their website? Now, without comparing it to Amazon first.
Okay, so
let's say that.
Here's where my immediate reaction is to this story. I think to myself, okay, these Waymo cars are in Walmart's parking lot.
Sure.
I'm going to go online at home and I'm going to order something, and then that car is going to come get me, bring me back to Walmart. I'm going to pick up the groceries and I'm going to go back to my house. Why can't you just bring me the stuff?
Just deliver it?
Just deliver it. Why aren't you a delivery service?
Okay, so take a different spin and say, okay, well, they're trying to get in on that, like, quick, easy, convenient kind of marketplace, but mm-hmm. with the brick and mortar aspect.
Right.
Right? So they're not doing the warehousing thing that Amazon's doing. They're trying to make it easier for you. So in Phoenix, where, you know, the transit system is taxed and it's hard to get around, well, isn't it easier to have an autonomous vehicle come to you, pick you up, take you there? Because it's not for somebody like me on their way home from work and, you know, I'm not going to do this. But a good example that comes to mind is, for example, my daughter.
Right.
She's 13. Right now, if I wanted my daughter to help with the shopping, I'd have to get in the car, I'd have to drive her to the store, we'd do the shop together.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we could sit down together on the internet, on the app and do the orders, and then I can give her the order and say, okay, see you in a half hour.
Right, the car just comes
and
to pick her up.
And it will come and get her, and it will take her there as like a taxi service. And so there's a convenient way.
Well, but I guess.
Not an infirm person per se, but somebody who can't drive. Somebody who can't, who doesn't have dependents taking care of them that can drive them to the store.
Right. I guess. But why can't I just feel like it's wasteful to not
it's
just
not
be a
you.
Delivery. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, it's not for me in that. Yeah. I like it. And I want more of this. I feel like I want it to be a delivery service if the cars are already going to mm-hmm. be there.
I think the value, though, is there are certain things that you could buy online but just aren't the same as having the ability to get picked up and go grab it, i.e. like produce.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to buy a box of oranges on Amazon and it shows up, say, the next day, or even say it's same day delivery, I can't verify what it is that I'm getting until it arrives, as opposed to being brought to the location and then go, sorry, those bananas are too far gone. I want something that's got a little bit of green to it.
Right. In Barrie, we have a click and...
Click and collect.
Click and collect. So you shop online, you drive to the grocery store, you park in a specific parking spot.
And they bring it out to you.
And they bring it out to you. But you don't check the produce.
Oh, I do.
Oh, do you?
Yep.
It costs like
$3. No, really? Our click and collect was
so
free.
Doing that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's super perfect for everybody, I think.
Yeah, because you set your time. You say, I'm going to be here at this time. You go there,
they
boom,
the
it's
shopping.
All for you.
It saves
See,
you
that
so much
money. Sounds handy for me coming home from work.
Right, and it saves you so much money in impulse shopping, which is why I love Amazon. Because Amazon, I do not impulse shop because I'm not being like
Amazon
bombarded.
Amazon tells me what to buy.
Exactly.
And I do as I'm told.
Yeah, me too.
Children could be banned from owning drones weighing more than 250 grams under a new proposal from the Department for Transport in the UK. They would only be allowed to fly devices heavier than that if they were owned and registered by an adult. It is the latest in a series of proposals designed to crack down on snooping fears in near collisions with manned aircraft. If approved, it could form part of a draft drone bill. A consultation on the proposals is now underway, with the bill due to be published later this year. In an associated report, suggests the age limit should be set at age 18 years, since many insurance policies are not accessible to those younger. That would still be 3 years below the minimum age applicants must be to be granted an airplane or helicopter airline pilot license. The consultation does, however, suggest that under 18s could operate a drone's flight controls if they are being supervised by an older individual. The UK government has already passed legislation that bans drones from flying at heights above 400 feet and within 1 kilometer of airport boundaries. And based on new rules that took effect on Monday, pilots caught breaking these rules could face unlimited fines or up to 5 years in prison.
Unlimited fines.
How do you have an unlimited fine? It's like, oh, sir, you did this. You have $5 million.
That's it. Like, that's it.
I suppose it varies depending on the infraction. And, I mean, you're going to have legal case law that goes, you've done this. I'm charging you this. Then the next judge is going to go, well, this person did this. And so, you know, and you set a precedent and then you have it.
So along that vein, Jeff, I think they're still establishing it.
Right. Yeah,
so unlimited may just mean we haven't really set
right
what's the maximum fine right now. We don't know because the worst hasn't happened yet. So let's put something in place that makes it so that hopefully the worst never does happen.
I need for that to happen because I imagine that
the worst?
No. I need for the laws to be in place because I know
she's a terrible pilot.
The right. Nature of boundary pushing, right, is that kids and maybe some adults, but kids especially will always try and see how close they can get to the, you know.
Right.
But yeah. But here's where I have a bit of an issue is, has anybody ever tried to control a 16-year-old? Like, there's no way. Like, 18 might be a little bit too late for the parents to still be the ones being caught, right? I think it should be like 16 or 15.
Sure.
Then you're responsible.
That's kind of... you know, that's just that's details. Yeah. But think of this. Okay, a drone that can exceed 400 feet in the air is going to be a bigger drone.
Yeah. Yes.
So let's put something into place. This is just, you know, if I was in legislation, this is how I would think. Let's put something into place that makes sure that the drones that are capable of that don't fall into hands of irresponsible 14-year-olds that are, hey, I dare you to go up to 600 feet.
Yeah.
But, or fly through the airport.
But, I mean, like, on the drone zone, we've reviewed some drones that got significantly higher than 400 feet, did we not?
Any that we did have geofencing. So as soon as you hit it, it stops.
Caps it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
See, and that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would rather see them put regulations in place that say, you know, these types of drones, you're limited to this. These types of drones can only be purchased with a license, i.e. like gun sales in Canada. You need to have a license to purchase a gun. So, I mean, you're going to go out and buy a BB gun, you don't need a license because the likelihood of you killing somebody with a BB gun is significantly less than, say, a 30-06.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're going to have a drone that has the capabilities of going beyond that 400 feet, then you need to have a license to purchase this, something like that, regulations, all that kind of stuff. Part of the... I'm all for regulation. I love regulation. I love having rules and boundaries and boxes to stick in. But I can't help but wonder in this one, and it's exactly what you said. People like... what's that line? Oh, can I just push it a little bit?
But
as opposed to treating this like the Autobahn.
If I don't have the drone that can do that, it's not capable of it. It's not able to get that high because I'm not licensed and so I can't buy it.
Can you get it if you can't buy it?
Oh, maybe.
Probably,
yeah, I mean,
right?
You can get anything.
Who's going to stop a black market of drone sales from happening?
Right, exactly.
And then it's going to affect Chinese imports and GearBest and everything else.
I think that my big hiccup on this is really just the age. I think to myself, between the ages of, say, 15 and 18, children are generally already pretty good at acquiring whatever they want and hiding it from their parents. Mm. I don't think the parents should be responsible for
them
at that point.
Kind of hard to hide a drone, though. It's like, where'd you keep that, you know, foot and a half wide drone? My sock drawer?
I don't know. Clearly, I don't have kids. I just imagine that they're...
We're really stretching now, folks.
Yeah.
We're really stretching now.
A competition helping to drive development of the futuristic Hyperloop transport system has been won by engineering students from Munich. The Hyperloop idea involves passengers in pods traveling at very high speeds down sealed tunnels. The competition saw student teams from universities around the world gather in California to put their prototype pods through their paces. The idea for Hyperloop, which would see pods speed through a sealed tunnel to reduce friction or air resistance, has been around for decades and was fleshed out by technology entrepreneur Elon Musk in 2012. He suggests that pods could travel along the system's tunnels at speeds of excess of 1,000 kilometers an hour. Critics have voiced concerns about the potential cost of building a large hyperloop and whether its technical demands can be met. Musk's SpaceX company has run a series of competitions to drive development of the concept. The winning team's pod hit 450 kilometers an hour on the 1.2 kilometer test track. Run by the SpaceX Aerospace Company, the competition aims to refine the technologies that could underpin the superfast transport system. The win is the third in a row for the Technical University of Munich team.
This is a cool story.
Super cool.
Yeah. I want it.
Everything like this just takes me to Mars. And I'm like, this is Elon Musk's thing.
Right.
And he's working on getting to Mars. So you just have to wonder, like, is this the motivation? Is this part
sure
of
it? Sure
is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
there's always an end game.
The original Total Recall and everything else, you know, like.
See, I was thinking like under ocean travel. Like instead, that's cool.
So. Well, anything. I mean, you think 1,000 kilometers an hour. How quickly are you going to be able to cross the globe?
Right. It shrinks the world. It makes us.
I mean, that's faster than plane travel.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
And to think that the competition has already exceeded 450 kilometers an hour.
Right.
In their test track.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure is more than a typical commercial jet plane, is it not?
I think so.
Their test track is 1.2 kilometers long.
Didn't take long.
At 457 kilometers an hour.
It's like, oh, we're done. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That was anticlimactic.
And stop. Yeah. Done.
But yeah. Right. So with this, though, a few questions, like from a safety standpoint, there's a few, like you're reading the story and two things are coming to mind. A, crashes.
Oh, yeah.
Like even at 457 kilometers an hour, like something goes wrong, you're toast.
Right.
You're not finishing your journey. The second thing
I would argue, same with planes, though. And we already do that. Okay, continue.
Yeah, fair enough. The second thing is sound barrier. If they want to get up to 1,000 kilometers an hour, you're going to break the sound barrier.
Right.
What is the sound barrier, Jeff?
Is it kilometers or miles? I think it's like 750 miles, so that's faster than kilometers.
343 meters per second.
Okay, so maybe they won't break it then.
Speed of sound in
Because this was 1,000 kilometers?
Speed of sound in kilometers. 1,000. Oh, okay. They're close.
They're
just under 225.
So just under. That's smart.
But okay. So that is okay. So then that moots that
right
concern.
Okay. So here's where I got excited. So Dave and I just recently went to Newfoundland. We spent a week there. I loved it. I want to move there. We will move there. I want to be able to get back to the
mainland.
We'll
open a satellite studio. Don't
yeah.
We?
Right. So could you imagine if it was easy to get from the island to the mainland? Right.
Yeah. Oh.
Lickety split.
It would be perfect. I wouldn't
in the Caribbean
miss anything.
Get from like from island to island
right.
instantly.
I just feel like even getting, you know, across the pond and going to Europe from North America, if you could really do that in a hyperloop situation, we could have all of our viewers in one spot.
There you go.
True.
Yeah, everybody just come on over for the show.
Exactly.
That's crazy. I fear though, as you mentioned, accidents. It just seems to, like airplanes, it's pretty tough for an average Joe person to get up to that height to cause any kind of ruckus outside
right.
of the airplane. Of
right.
course, they have things in place, mechanisms in place in order to stop people from getting onto airplanes that would cause problems.
Right.
But on the outside of the airplane, it would be really tough to get on the outside. Now, a Hyperloop is something that's on land
mm-hmm.
or goes across land or goes under. It would be a lot easier, I would expect, for somebody with malicious purposes to break it or to
sure.
interfere with it, because it's mm-hmm. on land. It's easier to access.
Yeah. Right. I see your point. Mm. Oh.
Now, depending on what kind of margin of error there is in a gap between the walls of the Hyperloop and the tube itself, that could negate a lot of
right.
potential crash resistance. I mean, if you've got maybe, say, a foot on either side, all you're going to do is kind of ping pong around, and you're going to have some whiplash, but maybe not enough to, you know, kill people.
Right, if there was an earthquake or something.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they'd
like...
have to account for that.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, pipe breaks and sticking out in the middle, like, you know, bye-bye birdie. But
so that makes me think, because I was always picturing the Hyperloop, and I should look up what these things actually look like in their tests.
You're picturing like a train on a track?
I'm picturing like a hovering train inside of a tube. That's
right.
But I'm not picturing what's outside of that, and you're making me think that this could be like a shock absorbing outer, like,
sure.
Think about a shock mount on a microphone.
Yeah.
Like on a studio microphone.
Right.
And how that microphone sits inside of that shock mount and can be moved around within that shock mount, and the shock mount never moves.
Right.
So something like that holding the tube would make it virtually impervious to
any sort of
shock
crash issues.
Earthquake and things like that. So that makes me wonder.
Hmm.
Chat room is saying that Hyperloop is typically for shipping things, not people.
It will be used for people.
That will change. Mm-hmm. But that is an interesting idea when Amazon takes hold of this.
Making
says,
Amazon
we will deliver to the UK in 1 hour.
Same day.
Yeah, exactly.
You can bake a cake here, and before it cools, it'll be there.
It absolutely makes sense that companies like Amazon would get in on that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Guaranteed
they'll use it for people. The fact that we've already got maglev trains that are going at crazy fast speeds over in, you know, I think it's Japan or China, you know that somebody's going to go, let's transport somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to make traffic issues go away.
Oh, like, yeah.
Imagine being able to bypass all the traffic going to work. I can get from here to my office 6 minutes.
And if they don't...
As opposed to an hour and a half.
Yeah, and if they don't do that, Jeff, you know somebody's going to put themselves in a shipping container.
Absolutely
it's
they will.
It's just going to happen.
It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
These have been awesome news stories. So big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
Thanks, Sasha. I'm Robbie Ferguson.
I'm Jeff Weston.